the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
He says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from sex style to gossip. Gotta listen and to hear what Max is to share. LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. It's time. Well, happy September 1st. Happy Labor Day. How are you all doing? Tweet me at Max Tucci. You know, I'm not going to be on the full show tonight because I'm traveling around this country of ours, America the Beautiful. But nonetheless, I've got to bounce. But before I go, are you into deepening your relationship tonight? I mean, really deepening your relationship. Not like, you know, just the surface, but like getting into the nitty gritty of your relationships. Those corners that you haven't swept in a long time, those other ones that you haven't vacuumed, and the windows that you haven't Windexed. Well, tonight's the night that you're going to learn how to get a little more out of your relationship, deepen it. All right, my friends, well, stay tuned because Tamara and Greg are back tonight. I'm super excited for that. So get your pencils ready, get your little fingers typing already, because you're going to blow, your mind is going to be blown away. So tweet me at Max Tucci, and of course, by all means, I want you guys to stay tuned throughout the show. Go to latalkradio.com. You can get all of the almost 6 years of archives we have stored up there of Max and Friends and LA Talk Radio. Speaking of apps, I want you to download the LA Talk Radio app. It's free. Download the Max Tucci app. It's free. And download the I on South Florida app, because there's going to be some exciting things that I'm doing with Ion South Florida. Speaking of all these exciting things, do you all know that the Unicorn Village Academy has opened? All that hard work that I've been doing with the Unicorn Children's Village and the Unicorn Village Academy is open. So I want you guys to support them. Go online, check them out. Speaking of checking out things, check out sosflorida.com, because I need you all to help these kids who are going back to school. All these kids are going back to school already and they need backpacks and other things. So your help counts. I'm looking forward to you guys really getting involved with the community. And if it's a charity that you don't feel you want to get involved with, that's okay. Get involved with one that rings to your heart, okay, my friends? Well, here's the deal. Since we're talking about love tonight, I only find it fitting that it's also the first of the month, which means Dr. Maya Love is here, and she's giving us our Vedic astrological readings tonight here on Max and Friends for the month of September. There's a lot going on, people, and the only way that you're going to find out what's really going on is staying tuned to Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. I'm Max Tucci, your host. Tweet me at Max Tucci. Let me know your thoughts about the show, because even though I'm not going to be on, I'm still going to be checking my tweets, and Tamara and Greg are going to take over the mic tonight and really give you all something phenomenal. So get ready to deepen your relationships, but now get ready for Dr. Maya Love and your September astrological Vedic astrological forecast. Hit it, Ronan. Thank you guys for tuning in. Love you for listening, and stay tuned for Greg and Tamara when we're back. Dr. Maya Love now on Max and Friends.
Hi, everyone. This is Maya from VedicAstroLounge.com on Max and Friends, LA Talk Radio, bringing you Vedic astrological forecast for September 2013. Vedic astrology is a great tool that can help you create a magical life. If you have any questions or if you'd like a reading, please feel free to reach me at VedicAstroLounge.com. The planetary positions for the month of September 2013 are as follows. Sun is currently transiting Leo but moves into Virgo on September 16th. Mercury is transiting Leo and moves into Virgo on September 5th. Venus is currently transiting Virgo and moves into Libra on September 6th. Mars will be transiting Cancer throughout September. Jupiter is currently transiting Gemini. Saturn is currently exalted in Libra. The north node of the moon is currently transiting Libra, and the south node of the moon is currently transiting Aries. The major highlight of this month is the conjunction of Saturn with north node of the moon in the sign of Libra. These two planetary energies join in very close degrees during the second half of September, beginning September 10th onward. This major conjunction occurs in Libra after 147 years. The effects of this conjunction will have a significant impact at an individual level as well as on a global level. This conjunction is capable of triggering new wars or violent events in the world. But fortunately, this conjunction is aspected by Jupiter from Gemini, so the intensity of these violent events in the world will be far diminished. If you have Saturn and North Node of the Moon conjunct in any of the signs in your natal chart, or if your ascendant or moon sign is Libra or Pisces, then you may experience some health or financial troubles, or some issues may flare up in your personal life and in your relationships with others. It is important to avoid unnecessary conflicts with others during this time and also to curb your expenditures. Most of all, choose peace and remain patient. Here's the astrological forecast for the month of September 2013 for the 12 Vedic moon signs. Aries, this is your month. Saturn and North Node are conjunct in your 7th house. No matter what goes on around you, stay true to yourself, remain loyal to your friends and intimate partners. Taurus, this is your month. Saturn and North Node are conjunct in your 6th house. You'll find yourself enjoying good health, but it is also a great time to focus on bringing your body to balance. Gemini, Saturn and North Node are conjunct in your 5th house. Keep your complete focus on creativity. Replace stressful thinking with creative visualization. Cancer, Saturn and North Node are conjunct in your 4th house. You'll find yourself taking an active part in healing family-related issues and embrace true happiness. Leo, Saturn and North Node are conjunct in your 3rd house. Focus on effective communication with your siblings to bring harmony and balance into your relationship with them. A great time to assist in healing your siblings. Virgo, Saturn and North Node are conjunct in your 2nd house. Put your complete focus on finance and also be mindful of what you say when you speak with others. Libra, Saturn and North Node are conjunct in your 1st house. Though it may appear as a really tough time in your life, it is important to remember that it is a great window of time offered to you for your own healing. Use it wisely. Scorpio, Saturn and North Node are conjunct in your 12th house. It is very important to curb your expenses and maintain peace and harmony. Sagittarius, Saturn and North Node are conjunct in your 11th house. You'll experience increase in your income during this time, but make sure to pay attention to the nature of the source of your income. Capricorn, Saturn and North Node are conjunct in your 10th house. Remain honest in your interactions at workplace. Any sudden changes in career that may arise will only be for your own benefit. Aquarius, Saturn and North Node are conjunct in your 9th house. Your dad's health may need your attention and also you'll develop a philosophical outlook towards life. Pisces, Saturn and North Node are conjunct in your 8th house. It is very important to focus on health during this time. Cherish the time you spend with your near and dear ones. That brings me to the end of the forecast. Before I leave, I would like to say that every event in our lives happen for a deeper reason. All we need to do is look within and transcend those aspects within ourselves that has made us to perceive an event as suffering. That is true healing. Imagine a different possibility that you would like to experience in your life. Imagination is creativity. In creativity resides joy. Have a good one, everyone. Thank you and blessings.
LA Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends.
Hey guys, welcome to a mind-blowing conversation tonight we're going to have about relationships. Last week we were talking about control. And what we kind of ended with last week was, if you're miserable in your relationship or you're struggling, every time you're struggling in your relationship, there's difficulties, in the absence of abuse. I mean, if there's actual physical or emotional abuse going on, of course there's going to be problems in relationship. But if you're experiencing problems that you don't understand, there doesn't seem to be any real like outside stimulus that's causing those problems, I would venture a guess that there's something going on where you're wanting to control something, where you're wanting to take charge of something. And what you're going to find, I think, and Tamara, you can comment on this, is the relationships are a lot like a sea anemone. You know those things that are like, they're soft and they float around in the bottom of the ocean. You know, when you went snorkeling out in the Caribbean and you poke it, what happens? It closes up. Well, your partner is just like that. You know, but here's how we handle our partner. We say, wait a minute, what are you closing up for? And you reach in to try and tear that thing open and get that beautiful, those beautiful, colorful, fluorescent tentacles to open up again. But you're poking the thing, trying to get it to open. It tightens up even more. And this is what your partner's like. So what makes that thing open? You stand back and you watch. And you listen. And you don't try to control it or stimulate it or change it. You just stop and watch and listen. And it automatically feels safe and it opens up again because it feels honored. Now, here's the funny thing. If you just swim away and say, that's it, I'm done, you don't get to watch it blossom. You don't get to watch it open up again and see it show its beauty again. And relationships are very much the same way. Sometimes you just stay and be there. And over time, that creates tremendous safety, a feeling of brilliance and acknowledgement, appreciation. But been my experience that when I'm struggling in a relationship and I'm watching my wife is like, I can't figure out, like, she's not doing anything wrong, but I'm like struggling. I usually have something I'm trying to control. Like, it's almost like you're breathing or your heart. You can't control your breathing or your heartbeat. And relationships are very much life like that. Life is very much like that. Life is living you perfectly. It's living you just fine until you step in and, you know, try to say, well, I want it this way. And with your partner, it's very much the same way. The relationship is working brilliantly. It's relating brilliantly until we step in and try to control it.
Absolutely. I think that's a beautiful analogy. I love the fluorescent light from the tentacles that are available in a synergistic flow when each person feels honored and respected and loved in the relationship. There can be an opening and a beautiful exchange and a wonderful experience of feeling together, a feeling like you're in partnership. And just the opposite is true when the other one or either one comes in poking at the other and just trying to instigate a response, regardless of tact or presentation, and then claiming to have amnesia about that, or, you know, how can I do anything different if I don't know what it is I'm doing? So there's a lack of responsibility for when the other person closes up. And when there is absolute 100% of what we do have control in is our response, 100% control. And when we recognize that we're in control of how we come across or how we state our intentions or our tone, you're going to automatically see whether the anemone or your partner is either closing up or opening up by the way you're presenting yourself. And there's always an opportunity to present yourself anew. Always.
Now, Tamara, what do you do when, okay, because you say you're in control of your response 100%, but you're not in control of your feelings. You can't say, you know what, all of a sudden, like, I'm frustrated. You use this term all the time. You say, I'm not a light switch, you know. Mm-hmm. When I'm like, hey, you know what, all right, we're frustrated. This isn't working. Let's just stop and turn around and get back to what we're both committed to, which is love and peace.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with that. Let's get to the core, love and peace. That's why we're together. That's why we started this thing. That's why I'm in it, for that experience with you, not just to have it for myself at your expense, but to have both of us experience love and peace. Bottom line. Now, when I bring that, you sometimes say, well, I'm not a light switch. So we're in control of our response, but we're not in control of our feelings. And like you say, you're not a light switch. So there's like a lag time. There's like, you know, so how does this actually work? That when you find yourself feeling heated, feeling that frown coming up on your face, feeling like, wait a minute, you know, the hair starts coming up in the back of your neck. What do you do?
Well, that's a great question, because what do you do when you've just stamped on someone else's foot and then you turn around and expect them to just switch their record? Well, but, switch the track you're on.
But when you say
switch what you're playing.
Okay.
So when you've been hurt, when either party's been hurt, and as the perfect analogy that you gave of poking someone else and then trying to poke them further to get them to open up again doesn't work. As you brilliantly said in the analogy of the anemone.
So you've been poked. Mm-hmm. What do you do so that your experience of being poked starts to untangle, resolve itself, starts to come back to love and peace?
There has to be an atmosphere of safety. And you even said it yourself, that when you actually listen, get curious, you're apologetic. Oh my gosh, that wasn't my intention. I wanted you to experience love. What's it going to take for you to experience love right now? Oh, listening to you. Hearing you say, wow, I'm really hurt. And having you say, wow, I'm sorry for hurting you. I didn't intend for that. So allowing the throbbing to subside somewhat allows for the anemone to open up again.
So allowing, when you say allowing, now you say you're in control. But allowing doesn't sound like, all right, I know how to take control of this so we get back to love and peace. It sounds like what you're saying is, oh, I'm at the mercy of my partners saying they're sorry, coming back into the relationship with a totally different perspective, which they may or may not have. You know, like if you don't have one, how do you, you know, you got to reinvent yourself. And in the moment, in a heated moment, it's like instead of, oh, let me try something new and creative, a lot of times you dig into an old way of doing things, which just makes it even worse, right? Because you're just going to do more of the same, which causes more of the pain.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so here you are. You're in control of your response, and yet you're not a light switch. So your partners, they poked you, the anemone, you can feel yourself tightening up. You feel your face. Your face tightens up. My face will tighten up when I'm feeling poked. And I'm like, all right, now I got, it's like, oh, and so what am I in control of? When you experience that, and you can say, all right, we're going to return to love and peace.
Well, the invitation of being poked is an invitation into another world. So it's another world of limitation. It's another world of that there's something wrong. It's another world of I'm going to complain. I'm going to criticize you. I'm going to put you down. It's an invitation to be in a dark space.
Right. And
and there it goes back to what world do you want to live in? So if you're in a world where there's light and there's an understanding that people like you, that you like them, that there's a collaboration, that there's actually an experience of love, that there's actually an experience of peace, really what's at war is the parallel universes. So which one do you want to step into?
Right.
And if the invitation continues to be into the darker side of the world, there's going to be a tightening up.
Right. And you know what comes up for me is the one thing that I'm always returning to is we saw the movie The Butler yesterday. And there were
great movie.
Fantastic movie. Highly recommend you guys see it. And see it from the perspective of how am I with my relationships? One of the things they talk about, and it's really basically it's about racism. And the struggle that one butler went through the seven generations in the White House of being a butler there. And some brilliant dialogue where Martin Luther King, they show a few scenes where he's basically training the stance, his followers, training them in a stance of we are going to stand for love. And we're going to be tormented. We're going to be they're going to be instigators. They're going to try and get us to respond. And I always come back when I'm dealing with, you know, training someone either in career, business, relationships, friendships, Gandhi. Gandhi stood for love and didn't get distracted by the brutality going on around him. And there were a couple scenes last night in the movie where Tamara and I just looked at each other and said, now that is beautiful. When, you know, Martin Luther King was behind the scenes talking about how we stand for love. And if you can, in your relationship, say, you know what, let's practice standing for love. And if your partner's feeling like, you know what, I've just been harpooned or hurt, and I'm not feeling it right now, there's a way to stand for love instead of fighting for love. You know, it was something Mother Teresa said. She was once invited to, you know, go march against war. And she said, I will never march against war. But if you guys want to march for peace, I'll be there. So notice how relationships start. Somebody steps on somebody's toes emotionally. And that's the one thing I think Tamara and I agree. You can't control, like in a moment, you can't just say, well, I'm going to turn my feelings off. Now, what I have noticed is, instead of being in the torment, the torture of my hurt feelings, what I can do is take a step back and say, wait a minute. And here's the magic formula for tonight. Okay, so if you're really interested in getting the magic formula, here it is. When you're feeling really threatened, really upset, anything that you don't want to be feeling, and you're feeling resistant to those feelings, you're like, wait a minute, this is not where I want to go. Instead of taking control to get back to what's right, be willing instead to say, I'm willing to be wrong. I'm willing to be wrong, and my feelings are telling me that whatever path I'm going down of where I'm trying to control this thing, I'm going to let go of that path of what I know is right and say, you know what? I would rather be happy right now. I'd rather feel the love and the peace. So whatever I got that I'm hanging on to that my partner is not fulfilling, I'm going to let go on a very deep level of needing them to be anything for me and bringing in what's greater, which is love, in the face of that attack. And this is why we have a Martin Luther King Day, by the way, but we don't have a Malcolm X Day. Because Malcolm X said, you know what? I'm going to take control. We're going to get back to doing what's right. We're going to be, you know, fire. We're going to fight fire with fire. And everyone on his team was getting burned. Martin Luther King stood up and he basically was like, you know, we are going to face this with love. And literally, we have a Martin Luther King Day. We have people that celebrate and feel warm and loving and feel better about the country we live in. And if you don't, because of what Martin Luther King stood for, I recommend you take a look at where are you introducing conflict instead of love in your life and your beliefs.
Well, and it's beautiful to look at the macro because it's such a beautiful picture of the micro. So when we look at what's going on in the world today, we can look at where to start with making a change is with the person who's right next to us. So it may be easy for you to practice or experience love with strangers because you're never going to see them again. The real work, the real beauty takes place with the people that you're closest to. And it is your family members. It is your partner. It is your lover. And when you are kind to them, there's a ripple down effect. There's a trickle down effect in the world when you're able to love fully and completely the one you're with.
Right.
And it sets a beautiful example for anyone else around you.
That's true. And let's get real with them tonight, Tamara. We were sitting in Agape Church today, which we love. It's down here in Los Angeles, Culver City. Very open, totally accepting environment. And we love being around folks that are just oozing with that love. And there was a woman sitting next to us that saw Tamara and I sitting there. And she said, you know what? You guys need to send some of that over here. Because we were just like newlyweds. And we are. We're newlyweds. We're recently married, July 4th, 2010, and we're on our honeymoon. And yet, that doesn't mean we don't fight, but let's get really real, because there are some things that I do that work for you, and there's some things that I do that don't work for you. Now, today, you and I were having a heated discussion a little bit, and I said, one of the things I said that looked like it worked was when I said, Tamara, you know how sometimes we hold hands? And there's just like, I can just say, you know what, honey, I love you. I am in love with you. And you can return that. You know what? Oh, I love you, hon, so much. And we're in that moment. And in the middle of a heated discussion, if I bring that up, does that work for you?
Yes.
Work? Got it. So, all right. Now, then if we're in a conversation and I say, you know what, let's return to love. We're getting heated here. Let's just stop. Return to love and heat. Return to love and peace, rather. Does that work for you?
Not in that tone.
So it's got to be in a tone that sounds something like...
believable.
And what does that sound like? Give me an example. So here I am, you know, here we are, and I'm saying, and I'm like going, whoa, time out, hold on. We're heading down that road of where there's a little bit of edge on the conversation. And I'm starting to get scared because I'm a guy, right? And so just so you know, guys are not capable of processing in their body as much emotion as women are. It's one of the reasons guys shut down. And this is physiological, by the way, guys. Your corpus callosum, there's a part of your brain that is at least a third smaller than your partner, if she's a woman. And by the way, it makes no difference. Gay partners, if you happen to be more of the effeminate, nature versus the more masculine nature, that whole physiology is there. And so if there's one of you that loves to have those emotional, like really into it, your corpus callosum may be expanded, but your partner's may be reduced. And basically, when you're feeling like we're finally getting down to it, they're overwhelmed. They're feeling flooded. So I, as a man, know that when Tamara, while we're having a conversation, and she's perfectly okay with the depth of the feeling and the emotion, I may be struggling with that. And I may be saying, whoa, time out. Hold on, let's just back up a little bit. Tamara, let's not go into that space of where it gets edgy. And I say it with a tone, like you said, it's all about how you say it. If I say it with a controlling tone, that doesn't work, right?
Not at all.
Okay. So what is the tone that actually works? Now, I got to, because here I am feeling like, whoa, we're getting out of control. The horses are getting a little too wild for me. We may be going down that path of like, oh my God, we're going to have, you know, there's going to be too much emotion. I'm not going to be able to handle it. And so I say, whoa, time out. Tamara, love and peace. We both want that, right? That's what we're headed for. If I say it that way, do you feel like it's something you can agree with?
No.
Okay, so help me out here. Mm-hmm. Help me out. Give me some coaching. Because guys are listening here and they're like, well, man, you know, I've tried that. And I said, wait a minute, let's get back to love and peace. But you guys got to hear that if I'm saying it from a place of, and what would you describe that as, Tamara?
A place of trying to control. And I think it comes from feeling powerless. So to speak louder, or just because your words are loving words, but if it's not met with the tone behind it, it's not believable.
So even saying time out is a form of controlling the conversation. So saying, wait a minute, let's stop. That's me trying to control the conversation?
It can be. So back to the actual feelings that are congruent with your tone and with your words, it would be, come here, you. You know what? I didn't even mean to go that direction. Come here. I love you. Put your arms around me. Hold me. Look in my eyes lovingly. It's not a step by step. It's not a 1, 2, 3, and this is how it's going to be. And if we go from A to B, from B to C, then that's going to equal that we're going to get to D.
Right. And I can even hear when you're describing it how aggravating it is when it's just like you make it a mathematical. So inside me,
it's not pulling up some chart,
right,
or a pie,
right,
and this is the percentage, and so, if how much are you feeling on this or that? No. It's a like, come here, you, put your arms around me and go, do you know how much I love you?
So I have to inside
myself.
Do you
know how much I love you?
Right. So inside myself, I got to get
off
it.
How much I love you.
So inside myself, I got to get off it about fixing the problem and get in touch with my love and come from that love and say, Tamara, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
I love you.
It's a drop down from your head to your heart.
And I want you to know. So I've got to inside myself connect with my love, and literally, even though I have feelings screaming, I got to turn my back on those and say, wait a minute. There is love here. That is why I'm in the relationship that I feel.
And I believe it's the easier path to take, because when we're in touch with our first nature is to do no harm. So if you're in touch with actually the love that you feel for someone else, you're going to want peace for them. You're going to want love for them. So what is it in your tone, in your words, in your language, in your embracing that is going to actually facilitate that? And it is not staying in your head, and it's not a convincing, it's not a reasoning, it's not a deduction of a systematic approach.
A technique. It's not a tool or a technique that you're using on your spouse.
It's an actual being in touch with the love that you have for them, that you had when you stood at the altar, when you stood at wherever you were to make a commitment to someone else. There is a genuine love that is conveyed and felt. It's not just the words that are coming out of your mouth, or somehow, well, if somebody were observing us, who would say who has the problem? It's an actual dropping down with, come here. Come here, you. I love you. Can you feel that?
Got it. So now listen, guys are great with instructions. I mean, I once remember seeing this rabbi. This guy was fantastic. My last name is very close to a Jewish last name. And I used to get invited to synagogues. And there was this one guy, it was a Jewish rabbi that came in, Hasidic Jew. He had the curly sideburns and everything. And he was brilliant. And he said, he went through this whole thing, and with a deep Jewish accent, he said, "Let me tell you about relationships." He says, "Number one, women are relationship beings." And he said, "Number two, men are not." And what he was saying is that women are able to relate naturally. You know, women will walk into a restroom and they'll be talking and chattering about, "Oh, hi, and I love this and this, that." You walk into a men's room and it is like silence. If you say something to a guy in a restroom, that's weird for guys. They, you know, they're just like, they're not connecting. When you got your junk out and you're getting standing in front of the toilet, that you're not gonna, you know, it's not the time for conversation. For a guy, for a girl, they'll talk exactly about what's going on down there in the ladies' room with somebody after a few conversations. It's crazy for a guy to imagine that. Now, so guys don't process that kind of connection the way women do, and yet that's what's necessary. I've got to step out of my world of being the guy that's going to fix it. And here's what this rabbi said. He said, "Women are relationship beings, men are not." So when it comes to relationships, what men are great at is if you give them a job. If you say to a guy, "Here's your job, here's the instructions, do your job," guys can do that really well. So can you, is there a way, Tamara, to bridge the gap between when you say drop into your heart, which you know, I even struggle, it's like I got to drop into my heart and say, "Honey, I love you. And like you said, what
come
I...
Come here, you.
Come here, you. Come over here. Let me put my arms around you."
Mm-hmm.
And not just say it like, and then not feel. I got to literally put my arms around her lovingly and tap into the love in my heart and forget about fixing it. Forget about, you know, the technique and the tool and be organic. Now, this isn't something a guy understands, but it works. In fact, there's a great video on YouTube was about men and women, and it's like the woman walks in, and she's like complaining about her boss and all this other stuff, and he starts to give her advice, and they put up that red X on, you know, the game show, and then they show in the scene number two, attempt number two. She walks in, she starts complaining, and he comes up and he says, "What?" He starts to open his mouth, before he even gets anywhere, and then step number three, she walks in, she starts complaining, and he just listens, silently tracks it, listens, feels the feelings, doesn't say a word. Just looking at her, and when she gets done, she folds her arms and looks at him like, "Well," and he walks over, silently wraps his arms around her, says, you know, doesn't say a word, just wraps his arm around her as if to say, "Wow, you've had a tough day, let me give you some love," and he goes, bing, like that was the answer. And I have experienced this myself. If I can come to you, not with, "Hey, I'm going to solve this problem," which, guys, you're great at solving problems. That's what you want to do. But instead, don't come to this like, "You're a problem. I'm about to solve you." That is going to be the true, Tamara, the most aggravating thing to come to your partner like, "I'm going to solve your problem because I'm a good problem solver and we're having a problem."
Well, and then insult on top of that is to say, "What was your problem in that situation? Let me tell you what you should have done." And if there's no support, regardless of whether it's a principal thing or not, to feel supported by your partner and your spouse is everything.
And anything else is poking the anemone.
Mm-hmm.
Poking it with your finger, poking it with instructions by telling it. You know, how does it feel when somebody tells you what to do? Even if it's done with an intention of returning to love, it still feels like a poke. Mm-hmm. So the thing that actually, what I'm hearing you say that actually works is to drop it about winning the...
Call the police.
There it is. We're going to call the police. Emergency, emergency, hold on. Instead, so you drop all that and you let that go away. Or come closer. Can you hear it?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then this is what it's like in a relationship. It's like you got that so sirens going off and it's like, "Well, how I can't stop." But then... if you just be with it for a second, it'll fade away.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you can become present to your love. "Wait a minute. I love this woman." Even as a reminder, better than to talk about it, reach out and grab her hand silently and get connected with the love in your chest. And guys, I got to tell you, there is nothing I have done that takes more courage. I've been bungee jumping. I've done crazy things in vehicles and crazy things that, you know, jumping off high places, cliff diving, but there's nothing I've done that takes more courage than in the face of a relationship storm to say, you know what, love is more important than this chaos, than this, than whatever my feelings are, and to stop and say, you know what, whatever these feelings are, whatever direction we're going in, my feelings are getting stronger, so I want to admit right now that wherever I'm thinking and going and whatever I'm doing, if it's getting worse, stop, and I'm wrong, and I'm willing to be wrong.
Well, and just the word partner, partnership, lover, there is an insinuation that you don't have to call the police, that someone's actually going to be there by your side that is going to say, hey, you don't have to do this thing called life alone anymore. I'm with you in this. You're not alone. And I think that's one of the things that causes for sirens inside on your heart is feeling like, oh my gosh, I am alone in this relationship. That's a very, very scary place.
Yeah. And those sirens do come up. And by the way, so we're going to actually get real and honest with you guys about what's going on. We are at Downtown Disney, mm-hmm. and which is one of Tamara's my favorite places, Disneyland and Downtown Disney in Anaheim. And we love frequenting this place, Downtown Disney. We sometimes go in the park at annual passes sometimes. Sometimes mm-hmm. we always just enjoy being at Disney and seeing what the culture's like, talking to the employees like we did today, interviewing mm-hmm. them a little bit, listening to the pianists play all the different theme stuff. So we're down here. We're sitting in the parking lot in our coach. We got this gorgeous, decked-out coach, 36-foot diesel pusher that we live in sometimes when we come down, travel around. And the sirens are going off in the streets all around us, which is brilliantly adding the foreshadowing of what's it like in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Max is, one of the things we love about Max is that he really does believe that whatever is there, we can work with it. We can work. Max is brilliant, man. He is like, he flows. He goes with it. And
yeah, wherever you are, that's exactly right. Where you're supposed
so
to be.
So we're going to thank
and
you,
And what
Max.
You're looking for is looking for you. I love
we're
that.
We're going to thank you, Max, for providing
Max.
The foreshadowing on this relationship course tonight, for inviting us to come and host it and to provide the foreshadowing in the background. We know Max is in control of the universe. And we thank him for providing all the tools that we need in order to make this thing real.
Well, and one really cool thing about Max, too, is that he's always inviting his listening audience and the people that are close to him in his world. Because in Max's world, things do work out. Things are in divine order. Things are in divine purpose. And I love that Max always encourages he always encourages us with higher thoughts, with higher ways of being. No matter what it is, he doesn't take the bait of going in a downward spiral. And if he does, it's because it's for entertainment value. And really what he does is he uses it to swing up to the other side.
And guys, think about, when you look at humanity and you separate it from, the Neanderthals, from the affluent people that seem like they're just got a lot of grace and blessings in their life, and they live a very, very rich and wonderful life of prosperity. And then there's these Neanderthals that are down here constantly with the sirens going off, and they're picking fights in bars, and they have no relationship skills, and they communicate like Neanderthals. Now, you got to decide which end of that spectrum you're going to be on. Now, one of the things that we love about Max is we can have a really deep and meaningful conversation, and instead of going to the place of like, oh, wait a minute, there's this way where you get to talk about real difficult subjects with stamina and self-discipline enough that you can actually say, you know what, I'm having feelings, but my feelings don't run me. My feelings inform me.
Good.
But they don't control me.
That's beautiful.
And so there's a way of when you're dealing, instead of like trying to deal with control on the outside, I'm going to control my partner, I'm going to control these people. And think about it. Eventually you get into a bar fight. It's like, I can't control you so much, I'm literally going to give you a fist in the face. On the other end of that spectrum is instead of trying to control other people, you actually get into a space of self-mastery. A space where your feelings are something that you can inform you. You don't deny them and shove them under.
Mm-hmm.
You don't neglect them and deny that they're there. Or you don't try to implode. You know, the definition of anger, the clinical definition, is a thwarted desire. Wanting something and not getting it causes anger. Now, check this out. The definition of depression, clinical depression, is anger turned inward. So what causes depression is anger turned inward, and what causes anger is when we don't get what we want. So when you don't get what you want, if you try to force it, control it, fix it, and become the Neanderthal about it, that's when we run into that explosion. When we don't explode, if we happen, and people tend to be one or the other, they're either exploders or imploders. Imploders tend to get very depressed. Exploders tend to get into fights. But if you're really part of self-mastery, if you're really working on your self-mastery, what you're doing is you're processing your feelings and you're communicating love throughout the process of processing your feelings. You can not stop your partner or stop the conversation. You can allow the conversation to flow and tap into the peace and love that you have in your chest for your partner while the discussion is taking on a lot of feelings in your body.
Well, and then the opportunity is for the other partner to actually feel that they're loved instead of thinking that they're not loved. And I think that there's a beautiful opportunity always to awaken to the truth. And the truth is that we are powerful beings, that we are joint heirs with the universal intelligence, with our creator who designed us to be grand. And there's a huge difference between grandeur and grandiosity. And grandiosity is just a puffed up way of being over a whole bunch of insecurity that, well, I'm not powerless, so I got to be powerful and I've got to control this or control that. Whereas grandeur is an awakening to your true sense of who you really are as a powerful being on this planet that cannot be destroyed, that will never be destroyed. Even in death, there's an opportunity to awaken again to who we really are. And when we're in touch with that, there isn't anything that would do harm to another human being. There isn't anything that would try to control or let someone else or try to make them feel less than you in any way, shape, or form. Because what you're recognizing it is that as your light shines, you subconsciously give another person the permission to let their light shine. And when there's a synergistic flow of light that flows between the two of you, then that light spreads in the world like a wildfire.
Now, what you hear Tamara talking about is something bigger than her. And I have to say, there is a time when for me, when I've hit my wall, and I literally have to, the only place to go from that moment when it's just like, I can't do this. And for those of you that are feeling hopelessness, here's the remedy. Faith. Is to actually have faith in and prayer and say, you know what? I am literally at the end of my rope. I want this relationship to work. And so whatever your higher power is, you call on it, not with a desperate, you know, victimized, you know, please come save me. But from a space of, I am committed to this relationship, and I stand for love in this relationship, and my demand as a child of God is that some higher power come in right now and heal this experience that we're having. Right now. And grab your partner's hand and have that sense of, I am not trying to control my partner. I am asking for love, a greater love than we have and we are experiencing right now, to come right now and visit us. And let your partner know that you have that faith in them and in your marriage and in your relationship. Not necessarily in them or you, but in something greater that's of both of you and greater than you that can come in and heal when you can't. When everything you've tried has hit a brick wall, prayer, and I don't mean like, you know, oh, rolling your eyes like, oh boy. I'm talking about prayer, stopping and praying. And you know, it's funny. One of the things I learned during the years that I really just checked out. I was checked out of like being in business, and I checked out and was in a monastery praying, meditating, silence for 8 years. And during that time, I learned from one of the senior monks who did a lot of marriage counseling. And here's what's really funny. The monks that I lived with, these senior monks that had been there for 20, 25 years, they would laugh because they're like, you know, it's really funny. We go to church and these couples come to us with all these problems. And most of the problems they have are about two things. Number one, sex. And the other thing had to do with money. And they said, here's what's really funny. We're monks. We don't have sex or money. And yet they come to us for advice. But the one thing that I learned from this one senior monk, I said, so what do you tell them that works? You know, here you are, a monk. He says, the one thing that always works that I've learned is that it is impossible to criticize a person and pray for them at the same time. Now, whatever you want to call your prayer, if you don't like the word prayer because it sounds too close to some religious perpetration you went through, then here's what it means. You're either criticizing someone or you're asking for them to be blessed. And that's what I call prayer. Asking for them to experience love and peace in their heart and saying, you know what? I love this person. And there was a time when we were in love, and if I can't feel that right now, I'm asking for them to be able to experience the peace and the love that we felt when we first met. And asking not with a false sense of like I'm a victim, but with humility and humbleness, and say, there is a power of love that we felt that was so great that when our friends told us, you know, I'm not sure this is the right person for you, we said, no, we're feeling it. And you ignored everybody that was trying to tell you, you know, hey, let me say, you know, just, you're going a little too fast. You may want to slow down. What are you talking about? We're feeling the love, right? Remember how powerful that was? That's the same power and force that you're going to call on to visit you in your times of trouble and not rely on yourselves and experience a blessing. And really, you're either criticizing your partner in those moments, or you're saying, you're asking for them to have a blessing of peace and of love. And I know with Tamara, when I take her hand and I say, let's pray, even in the heat of conversation, she can't say anything but, okay. And there may be feelings you're wrestling with, but true, Tamara?
Always.
There's always, it's your silver bullet, well, guys.
And just as you cannot wish someone else in hell without being in hell yourself, the same is true wishing someone heaven. So when you wish someone heaven, you will experience it yourself. When you wish someone peace, you will feel it yourself. Because what we do to another, we do to ourselves.
Say more about that. We are one?
In a sense. And especially when the person is right in front of us. That what you do to another, you do to yourself. What that means is, I cannot do something to someone else without depositing the treatment I'm giving them. I'm depositing that into my bank of experience.
And it's not just, especially in marriage, by the way. We are not billions of people living in one world, all separate. We are one people living in billions of worlds, each with different perspectives, like the colors of a spectrum. And when those colors come together, there can be a beautiful dance. And I love that term, dance. Now, what Tamara's referring to about, boy, you know, if you're gonna criticize your partner and wish harm on them, like a jailer wishes harm on the person, you know, wants to control and limit the person that they're in love with, that they're in relationship with, keep something in mind. You can't keep somebody in jail unless you're standing there making sure the door stays locked. So the jailer is as much in jail keeping that other person in that state, controlling that they don't get to do this and do get to do this. You're as much in jail as the person that you're trying to control, that you're trying to keep from doing things that you don't want them to do.
That's why retribution never works. It's like drinking poison, expecting someone else to die. What we do to another, we do to ourselves. And when we get that, that's an upside down way of thinking than the world. Because the world comes from a space of an eye for an eye and some kind of justice. If someone else suffers, then I won't have to. Or even if I do, it'll be less than what they're suffering. And that is the illusion. That's the lie.
Right. And I know you've said this from time to time because, you know, you've got your licensed psychotherapist, psychology master, you've been a social worker for 11 years, been a marriage and family therapist. And the one thing that you've said that has a more impact on me than anything. And we've both worked with a lot of couples relationships. I more do a lot more coaching. Tamara does a lot more psychotherapy and that type of thing. But the one thing that she says she learned when she was learning about psychotherapy that was literally like turned it all around and set the world straight was that the definition of psychological health is that you blame no one for anything. Mm-hmm. Now think about what it would it be like if you didn't blame anyone for anything, if you were in a state where you could actually trust the universe and the way the relationship was working out, even during troubled times, you could say, you know what? While this is going on, there is love. And this is, I think, what Tamara is referring to when she says, listen, the only thing that's going to work when we're having trouble is if you come to me with love, in love, not, you know, talking about love and how are we going to get, there's a problem in the way of love, that problem out of the way. It's literally, I get to just take her hand and say, I love you. Like, let me tap into February 14th, Valentine's Day, the first few nights that we met. I have to go back to the first night when Tamara and I were eating sushi, and we were, you know, the sushi came, and I was like, oh, look at this, and it's like, here, you take a bite of that one, and then we're sharing and talking, and that, remember that first night when you were infatuated and interested and curious, and you were letting the love flow?
Absolutely.
That I got to tap into that and reach out and just remove myself from the storm of what's going on and reach out and grab your hand and say, I love you. I'm in love with you. Tamara recently, she said to me, she said, I got to tell you, that one text message you sent a week ago, it made my month. And the text message that I sent to Tamara was very simply, I'm in love with you, and a little red heart.
And so I'm so in love with you.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
In love with you. And it was true. I tapped into it. You can tap into it.
And the thing is, too, is we can become addicted to that, which is wonderful. If you're going to be addicted to anything, you might as well be addicted to peace and be addicted to love, because you can be just as addicted to finding fault and finding criticism. You can walk into heaven and find something to complain about, or you can turn it around and find peace and find love and opportunities to support and encourage everywhere you go. And starting with the closest relationship that you have with your lover, with your spouse, keep in mind that everyone around you will benefit if the solid relationship is intact with absolute beauty and to do no harm ever.
So thank you for listening. Max, thanks for having us on the show.
Oh, Max, we love you.
We love you. We love
so
you.
Grateful.
Max, you guys don't know, but Max gets us primed before the shows and talks it up. And just from his tone, when we talk, it's like we're rocking. So thank you for listening. This is Max and Friends, and Tamara and Greg Montana are hosting as guests for Max. And we love that you guys are listening, and we love that you're committed to your relationships. Return to love. Get back on your island of love and out of that swampy water with the sharks and everything. Just back to love.
Amen.
Have a good night.